So now I'm just going to introduce both of our speakers. They're both people that I know you're really going to enjoy hearing from. First, we have Brian Hamilton, and then he's going to be followed directly by Ashita Schaefer. I had also asked Ryan Kelly to speak, and he was very willing, and he had done a great job at a recent Chosen 300. But unfortunately, at the last minute, because of his work is somewhat weather-related, he had to work this weekend because we actually didn't have rain, so he couldn't be here today. But I look forward to hearing from him in the future. So thank you very much, and thank you in advance to Brian and Ashita.
All right, good morning. And first up, Virginia, you said earlier that Pastor Tom was at State College this weekend for the Penn State game, and prayers for Pastor Tom, because that was certainly a tough defeat yesterday, and not a very happy week off for Pastor Tom, but nonetheless, I'm sure he had a good time there with his family. So, like Virginia said, my name is Brian Hamilton. I am a member of Wayne Church here. I've been a member, my wife and I joined about maybe a little over 2 years ago. And I've been a Methodist my entire life, actually. I grew up in central Pennsylvania. I went to the Mechanicsburg First United Methodist Church. And for a very short but early period of my life, I thought I had the esteemed pleasure of being a member of the very first United Methodist Church in the entire world. Out of all the thousands of the Methodist churches, I went to the very first one. Now, of course, I learned that wasn't the case. It was the first United Methodist Church in our little borough of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And I learned that I didn't actually go to the very first United Methodist Church ever. Nonetheless, it is kind of special because my entire childhood was punctuated by being in the church. My entire week was centered around going to the church. My mom and my dad would dutifully take my sister and I to Sunday school and then the service as well. We would have potlucks after the service with my fellow members. The rest of the week had a wonderful Wednesday where halfway through the week we would all go back to church and we would have dinner and we would have choir practice. And I became involved in the youth group growing up. I would go to church camp in the summer. The Central Pennsylvania United Methodist Conference had these beautiful church camps that I would go to every summer. I'd either go to Wesley Forests or Camp Penn or Green Hills. I'd spend an entire week there learning about Christ and learning about the values of being a Christian. It was extremely integral in me growing up with faith. My youth group also did wonderful mission trips. We would go to Washington, D.C. and work in soup kitchens. We went out to Denver, Colorado and assisted in renovating buildings. We also did flood relief work in Ohio. So the youth group was also very servant-oriented, and we would continually go out into the community and serve others in the name of Christ. Now, throughout the year, there was also seasonal aspects of being part of the Methodist Church, and that entails it around Thanksgiving. The youth group would do a Thanksgiving homeless sleepout, which is a little bizarre, but stick with me here. Thanksgiving Eve, we would all go out into our church parking lot, set up tents, boxes, and we would sleep out all night and collect money for the local homeless shelter. We would raise thousands and thousands of dollars. This was a major event in the Mechanicsburg area. News coverage would come out and show us all out there. It was very cold. Yes, it did snow. And it was hard at times, but we did that, and it was actually really fun. Now, the next day, probably much to the discernment of our parents, wasn't very much fun because we were all zombies and would sleep half the day on Thanksgiving on a very, important family day. But nonetheless, it was a lot of fun. And then leading through the holiday season, we would have a beautiful Christmas Eve service, candlelight service. Then going into the Easter season, our church did a beautiful passion play. And you are in the presence of Peter. I played Peter 3 years in a row. And I remember hearing the rooster crow and you know, uttering the lines of denying, not knowing who Jesus was. But it didn't lead to anything grand, I know. But nonetheless, it was fun and informative. And then also I went through confirmation with my church, and I was confirmed in the Christian principles and understanding what being a Christian was, and being generous and gracious and trying to instill that outwards. So all of these things growing up has made me into the man I am today. And it's built my values, it's built my foundation. I am very lucky and blessed that I married a woman who also came from a church of, or a family of values. And this past November 30th, 2017, I had a gigantic event that happened in my life. My wife and I gave birth to a little baby boy named Holden. And that is an experience like I could have never guessed. And when you are holding that little baby boy and looking down at him, you want nothing but the best for him. You have so much hope for him that he will have a great life and he will have great experiences. And I reflect that back into what I grew up in the church and the experiences that I was availed and how I was able to do mission work. I was able to learn about the life of Jesus Christ. I was able to go out in the community and serve and make great friendships and make great bonds with people. So I'm looking back at my childhood when I now have a child, and I hope that for Holden, he'll be able to have those experiences. Now, there is a somber point, and if we all know Pastor Tom's sermons, he likes to throw out statistics now and then, and one of the statistics that really resonates with me is that he says the state of the Methodist Church today is one Methodist church closes per day across the world. One a day closes. And when I hear that, I think about all the children that are maybe part of those churches that are not going to be able to have the opportunities or establish the relationships or learn about the life of Jesus Christ and the gospel and the Bible study that's so important and was so transformative in me becoming the man I am today. So I start thinking about, wow, the cards are really stacked up against us. But Allie and I found Wayne Church, and Wayne Church is different. We are growing. We have just completed a beautiful renovation to our sanctuary here. We have a beautiful social gathering place back there in the well. So I have hope that Wayne Church will be a place of caring and nurturing and growth for Holden. There are younger couples here that have children, and I see a future where Holden and those children will grow up and be together and learn about being a Christian together. And Holden will be able to go on mission trips, like the Costa Rica mission trip. Not this year, probably. He's a little young. But he will be able to participate in mission trips like that, and he'll be able to give back to the community, which is such a foundational part of being a Christian. So to kind of string this all together, my foundation of being a part of a great, vibrant church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and my parents instilling hope in me and graciousness. And now when I'm a parent and I look around at the Wayne Church family here, and I see that I can give that same type of opportunity to my child, is very important to me. And I have all of you to thank, because you are the fabric of this Wayne Church, and you will help me achieve that experience for my son Holden. So I have hope for the future. I have hope for my son and my family, and I thank you for listening to my message today.
My name is Ashita, and my story is completely different from Brian's. I did not have the same upbringing and faith that he has expressed to you. Mine is totally, completely different. So I was blessed to be raised in a family surrounded by faith and prayers. And those faith and prayers were powerful and strong enough to protect me in the dark time of my young life when I probably needed it the most. I grew up as a child in India, and I did not have any church experience. I was raised Catholic, and I identify with that, but there wasn't a church that I went to. We had an amazing altar in our bedroom, and there were pictures of Jesus, so I know what that was. And my mom lit candles in the morning, and in the evening there were lots of prayers and everything was said, but that was all I had. And from there, I was preyed upon, but that was my experience. Then I left India when I was about 13, 14, so really young. My mom was a politician in India, and it wasn't a safe place for me to stay. So I was sent here to my sister, who was in college, and I thought I was just coming on a vacation, and I was left here. Now I'm 14 and starting over here, but still understand that I had no formative religious upbringing to this point, other than prayers work for you. I had not been to a church. I had not been confirmed. But yet, I was very blessed. I was very happy. I was thankful for everything I had. I was safe. I was protected. My family loved me. All is good. Then I go to college. My mom's desire was that wherever I go, at least be under the protection of God. So I was sent to a high school in Albany, New York, where it was Holy Names, and run by nuns. Very nice. But I didn't really understand the Bible or religious factors yet. You know, it was a very rigid, strict environment, so it wasn't the most nurturing for me. It was all tough, because now I was there just with a sister, and my mom left, and she went back, and I was all by myself, so it was a lot of learning. Definitely not religion, just like, oh my gosh, how do I sustain myself? Then I went to college, Lemoyne College in Syracuse, New York. That was another wish. My mom said, at least stick with the Jesuit tradition. You know, you're in faith. So when I went there, they were surprised that I had never been confirmed. So I got confirmed. I was now an adult. I didn't even know that that happened, but it happened, and I was confirmed. But I honestly, I don't believe that I had a strong relationship, because there were times right around there and before and after where I questioned faith. I questioned the existence of God. I wasn't really sure. Like, I know Mom keeps telling me that there's this, sorry, so I just wasn't sure about it. Then life got busy. I moved on, I got a job, I got married. I got a family, got busy, got a job, got a husband, got a family, got kids, all of that. Life is moving fast, all is good. And everything is actually perfect. So, you know, we got a beautiful house, we're in a beautiful area, my husband's amazing, my children are precious, everything's perfect. My parents, my dad especially, wanted us to kind of follow tradition and go to a Catholic church. So that's, of course, where we were going, and Jason, my husband, is so kind and amazing. He actually went through the whole pre-Cana process to get married with me in the Catholic church, because that was my dad's wish, and we did that. So we went through the whole process. And I know now how challenging that probably was for him, because I understand it, but we did all that. Then, is that time up? So then we went through the process. I realized soon later that maybe this was a difficult process. There were some challenges, and when my little nephew was getting confirmed, I was told that I lived in the wrong zip code, from the Catholic Church to where he was, which was only like 2 miles away, but there was some crazy process where, anyway, I had to go through a whole process to be in the church where my brother was, which was 2 miles away from where I lived, so that I could be the godmother. This whole thing was so complicated and made me realize, you know what? Jason wins. We're gonna come here. So then we came to this church, and at first I was a little confused because I was really very fond of the process of knowing when to stand and sit and kneel, and it just was comforting. And over here, there really wasn't all of that, so I was a little confused. But what I appreciated was the network and the family and the belongingness and the acceptance, where I felt like I all of a sudden knew more people than I might have known over there in the structure, but yet, please understand that life was perfect, you know, like in my mind, everything was just great. We moved on, things were busy, and we had kids. We tried raising them in faith. We'd come here on a given Sunday if we possibly could, but things are busy, so whenever there wasn't a squash tournament or a school event, we'd definitely come. Then one Sunday, sitting somewhere right there, Jason points to the bulletin and says, oh, look, there's a third Disciple One class. And because I remember quite often when sermons are being told, a certain story would touch me and I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's such a fun story. Did you know that? Did you know that that happened? And he would always be amazed. He's like, yes, it's in the Bible. Don't you know that? So he's like, okay, you should do this Disciple One class. It talks about the Bible and you'll get a bit of a foundation. And I was like, this is not the time, it's not the place, it's, you know, there'll be a time and place for all of that, and I don't know. We hemmed and hawed and spoke, and he thought maybe if he did it with me, it'll get me to come. So we did it together, and we figured even if we just do half the classes, it's better than nothing. So we did it. And, you know, the surprising thing is that till that class, I didn't realize that I didn't really own a Bible. So then, now that I had Disciple One, I figured, okay, let's get on Amazon and find a Bible. So now I'm looking and going through reviews on what's a really good, easy, Cliff Notes type of Bible, easy to understand, and I found one that was even used, because I'm like, oh, this is great, it has all the notes probably in there, and it'll help me through, because the Bible just sounded so complicated and foreign, and, like, you know, how do you understand that? So anyway, we started the Bible, we got Disciple One, and I have to admit I was a little embarrassed being in that class, with some of you in that class, because I could not contribute. I didn't really know what to say. I was at a loss. Everything was totally brand new to me, so I couldn't say much. And Jason would always say, you're so quiet. I was like, yeah, it's a good thing. So then at the last class, I remember that clearly, because we had to go in a circle and everybody had to speak. And we were asked to talk about what impacted us, or what caused or created the change, or what we got out of this. And I remember without much forethought or thinking, I was like, I have no excuse anymore. I cannot live the life I've lived, which was totally perfect till this class, but I have no excuse. Now, if I want to follow God, I need to not be as selfish. I need to not be as rude, as self-centered, as difficult as who I was. I unfortunately really needed to learn a lot more to figure out what I needed to do. But all I knew is that I can't say I don't know anymore, because I kind of knew a little bit enough to know that I need to know more. And that was the start of kind of everything over here, right here. So can you imagine, I've lived half my life now perfectly content and very happy in everything that I was doing, not knowing what I didn't know, and happy with the life I was living. But sitting over here is where I was like, I gotta find out more Bible study classes, and I think at this given point I might be doing 3 Bible study classes, and I'm enjoying them all. I don't know how I find the time for them, but I cannot not find the time for them. Wherever I am, I always have one of my Bible study books with me so that I can just like read and get caught up. When I'm on vacation, I take it with me. It fills me and satisfies me. And the funny thing about the Bible is that there's so many stories in there that put any soap opera to shame, you know, with all the murders and divorces and marriages. It's just, it's hysterical that it's real. And yet what I am amazed about is that there's so many characters in there that I can relate with. Like when we sat in the Bible study class, I almost would be like looking around like, did everybody just hear that? Because there'd be a certain verse or sermon that I felt like I just read that was meant just for me in that very moment. I was like, oh my gosh, like I got a chill. It shook me to my core. And it's real. It's been here all this while. And I always am like, you know, how to live a perfect life? It's right here. It's the answers are here. It's just not easy. But you know that story about when God like wipes the mud off the blind person? By disciple one, was that for me? I felt like the scriptures wiped off my blindness and I finally could see. And yet, don't get me wrong, I'm still so easily drawn to the annoying person that I was, where I'll easily debate and fight and get annoying. But when I find myself doing that, I quickly stop and ask for forgiveness and strength, which I've never done before because it was perfect, but now I do because I'm aware of what I'm doing. And I have to say, there are also times where all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, this is completely crazy. What have I turned into? I was a completely normal person. I had a life schedule. I have my life. I have my work. I knew my schedule. Like, what is going on? Why am I constantly talking to God? I'm sitting in the car. I'm talking to him. I'm taking a shot. Whatever. I wake up. I go to sleep all day long. I feel like I'm having a constant conversation in my head with God. And then I'll say something like, this is nuts. Like, this has got to stop. People think I'm insane. I'm talking to you so much, I'm forgetting everything else I'm supposed to do. There have been times when I'm, like, just sitting and reading the Bible or my Bible study book, and I completely forget I'm supposed to be on a teleconference. Or, like I'm forgetting normal things because this is all I'm doing. There was a phase where I was like, this is crazy. And I'd say things like, you've got to show me that this is crazy. And I think I've done this a good half a dozen times at least, where I'm like, this is not working, and I've done the whole Moses and Gideon and everybody else saying, you know, show me that this is real, and I've always seen a sign, and then I get a bigger chill, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to ask for this again. So, but it's true. I've felt it over and over and over again. So I believe that the Holy Spirit is totally strong and alive and well. I feel it. In me constantly, I feel it around me, it guides me, and it guides my thoughts and my actions. Prior to Bible study, I had a lot of pride. I was raised with a lot of pride because my mom always said, you're independent, you're strong, you're proud. And my family had a lot of pride to the point where it maybe was my downfall because I wouldn't easily forgive. I had my boundaries and my lines, and that was one of the first things I realized I had to let go, because when I read Paul's letter, which is probably one of my favorites, all of them are my favorite in any given time, but I love Paul's letters, and I love that he calls himself a sinner, because I relate to that so well, because I feel like there's no bigger sinner than me for all the things that I've done, and it's nice. So then I gave up pride. That's one of the biggest things that I learned that I had to give up. And I had to forgive any and every person that had ever done me wrong, because I've done everybody wrong. And so I learned that, but I didn't know that. But that was really big. And the funny thing is, my older daughter got away with all of, like, my life. Because when she was growing up, Natalia, life was busy, and even though Jason's like, we gotta go to church, you gotta like make priorities, and I'd always be like, no, there's a squash tournament, no, there's a school event, no, she's got this, there's something else always going on. And, you know, we did those things, because that was really important at that time. But now, I'm like telling Amelia, you're always coming to church on Sunday, you're doing Bible study, you're getting confirmed. It doesn't matter what I did with Natalia, we'll work on her, but you're going through this process now. So, Amelia asked me, quite often, she's going through this whole, like, superpower phase, you know, where she watches these TV shows with superpowers, and she's always like, oh, if you had a superpower, what would it be? And I finally have the superpower I always wanted, because my superpower was I want to be 100% content in everything I do and everything I say and believe, and I finally have that superpower. I feel like now that I have the power of God in me, there's no worry, there's no giant, there's no fear, there's nothing out there that I don't have the tools for. Because I have faith and I have power in God, and there were people at work that used to like irritate me. They don't irritate me anymore, because I can pray for them instead of getting angry with them. And the next time I see them, it really doesn't bother me. It doesn't even faze me. Challenges and worries that I had about my kids, I pray about it, and it's all taken care of. So the power of contentment and peace is absolutely amazing, and a power that I didn't have till I believed, which has only been a few years ago. So please, like, understand that right up till then, my life, which was perfect, is so changed and upside down. And this is where I am now. But life is different. It's all around the church. It's all around scriptures. We love being a part of Chosen 300. And I'm hoping that even though my Natalia has gone away, I pray for her constantly, and I know even though she didn't have the training that I want her to have, that Brian had, where he was so entrenched in the church and had everything, I unfortunately didn't give that to Natalia, but she has it with her, because I have been on campus where she is right now at NYU, and I've said so many prayers, and I felt God's presence over there with her, and when she wrote one of her first essays, she wrote about faith, and I'm like, I don't know where she got it, but it's there. The child has it, and just like God protected me when I didn't think I was being protected, I know he's protecting her, and I'm thankful for being the prodigal son that was accepted and the lost sheep that God didn't give up on. And to end, I'm just thankful for all of you who have led the Bible study classes that I'm in to guide me, to show me the way, and bring me here. Thank you.